This audio recording is brought to you by the Association for a Healing Education. Raphael and Michael in the First Grade by Mary Carmichael. In this article, Mary discusses the ever stronger need for healing movement and extra lesson work as part of each school day and shares a number of active, effective methods she uses for strengthening child development in her students. Mary Carmichael began her therapeutic education work in 1994, working with anthroposophical nurses to provide parents classes and supplies for home care treatments. She has worked as an early childhood and grades teacher since 1996 at the Waldorf School of San Diego. Mary completed her extra lesson training in 2015 as part of Cycle 10 of AHE. Raphael and Michael in First Grade by Mary Carmichael. Rudolf Steiner, in Curative Education, tells us, "The educator for so-called abnormal children will never be bored, for to him each child will be a new problem, a new mystery. The teacher will be led by the being of the child to know what he must do in each individual case. This dedication to the phenomena of illness is the mission of this work." To stand in front of the children in today's classroom is an honor, a privilege, and an enormous undertaking. As a Waldorf kindergarten and class teacher of 18 years, I was in awe as I looked into the eyes of a new class. I also saw a change in the children that I had not seen before. They were indeed more sensitive, empathetic, in tune, socially aware, tolerant, and had a different relationship to authority. They also had more attention challenges, sensory integration issues, and learning challenges. Incarnating into their bodies was extremely difficult. What specific capacities were needed to guide and support them? With or without classroom experience, what knowledge and skills are required to meet the needs of children with such interesting and challenging venues of ego incarnation? How can we as teachers merge the education work of Michael with the healing work of Raphael in a practical way? In Human Values in Education, Dr. Steiner infers Waldorf education is based on a knowledge of man and that teachers would not have to be doctors, but that, as he tells us, they should certainly have some medical knowledge, as much as a teacher needs to know for his educational work. Students' behavior and abilities are so linked to their physical constitution that it cannot be denied. As Waldorf teachers, we are prepared in our training as we study the 3- and 4-fold human being. We plan our lessons with this in mind. We know movement is connected to learning. But then what? We meet more children today that require more than just 15 minutes of movement before main lesson. How is the incarnation of the ego differently challenged today, and what can we do if we're not doctors, do not have school doctors, and still are needing to teach a daily lesson? Working with today's children. The study of curative education and application of the extra lesson are invaluable to understanding the phenomenon and the work with children today. With these insights and specific tools, along with our own inner work, we can open these mysterious windows to gain the knowledge needed to begin to meet the needs in our classroom. We need the healing gifts of Raphael to meet these children, but we need the ongoing strength and courage of Michael to be innovative, relentless, and efficacious. In preparing a lesson for a class with so many challenges, there are several things I found helpful. First, daily movement can be directed and specific. It can be movement time and not circle time. Today, forming a circle to do movement work is very challenging. Children can hold the given form much better behind their desk. These 20 or so minutes include singing and speech work, but also can include extra lesson exercises. Images and poems about ships in the sea work well with lifting one's weight. Lulling songs like Speed Bonnie Boat flow naturally with copper rod rolling. Multiplication tables are perfect for rhythmical activities, and clapping games with partners or paddling songs serve as midline work. Students eagerly marched to the grand old Duke of York while then resting and holding the copper rod over their shoulder in a standing ATNR stretch from Janet Oliver, Big 8. These specifically planned series of movements can be offered daily and in blocks of at least 4 weeks. Then they can rest for a block or two and return later in the year. Floor exercises that specifically address early movement patterns are excellent for extra periods after main lesson, when more time can be given to accuracy. And if there's adequate supervision, especially with classes larger than 20. Second, weekly extra lesson paintings can be performed in 4 week blocks and done with a shortened movement activity once a week. I questioned the ability to do this at first, as I could not see the logistics and feared the chaos. However, setup became part of the previous day's chores, and it began to run smoothly, so smoothly that even in a class of 29, I added the straight line and lemniscate drawing on another day of the week. Third, with insights gained from the extra lesson training, daily teaching becomes filled with opportunities for observations that can lead to practical changes. Standing at the back of the room watching the breathing and the postures, offering simple brain gym activities during transitions, noticing retained early movement patterns that can be remediated by activities in extra periods or games class, providing ample opportunities to develop sense of movement, touch, and balance, all of these are possible. For instance, observing several children led to the implication of a right brain dominance and left brain deficiency. Knowing this, it was easy to add some standing cross-crawling activities. We worked with a poem from the curriculum and put it to rhythmical clapping. As students crossed their midline and clapped their opposite leg, and then again in the middle, all this to the verse, the poem was now enlivened with movement. Adding brain gym hookups before math led to greater success by the students in performing calculations. Copper rod balance exercises offered an activity for students to come to stillness, while affording me the ability to observe their balance. Additionally, these were exercises that were challenging and fun at the same time. Notes from this work were pondered upon in the daily review, and changes could be implemented in the next day's work. Finally, working with one or two individual students after school for a short duration of time, combined with parent-supervised work at home, enabled a chance to glean deeper therapeutic insights. This one-on-one work, although difficult to schedule, added a special enhancement of the work. It allowed me to more fully penetrate the deeper riddle of the individual child, and also offered me the opportunity to rotate a small set of children in my class through the exercises. However, it was not perfect. The children were tired, sometimes I was tired, and the lessons were not as complete as a full 60-minute session. Nevertheless, one of these children, aged 9 years old, was able to learn to jump rope. His mother, who was confined to a wheelchair, helped him with this task at home by breaking down the steps to jumping rope. Once he had successfully learned to jump rope, both the mother and myself were brought to tears. My student was thrilled beyond measure. It was wonderful. Through dedication to the task, the change was facilitated. This was testimony, again, of faith in the mysterious workings of the angels. That which we cannot do, they can. Thank you for listening. Please continue to visit the AHE website for additional useful resources.